Well, it has been one of those weeks, hasn't it? Maybe it's played out for you at a personal level. Maybe you've had a bit of a stressful week, a crazy week, things happening that you wouldn't like, you don't particularly want. Certainly that's happened at a country level, at a political level. We've seen changes happening in our country and in our cabinet. And when times like those come, they have the ability to unsettle us, don't they? They have the ability to shake our foundations, to rock us a little bit. And I guess that's okay. It's okay to be shaken. The question is, have they knocked you over? When those times come, does the restlessness beat you? Does it win? It seems to me that restlessness is part of life today. I meet with a lot of different people, and in the conversations we have, almost every person I meet will tell me they are busy, they are stressed. One friend says to me, last year's busy is this year's normal. That's how it is for him. It's crazy. When I talk to the mums and the parents at the schools, there's always another meeting, there's always another activity, there's always another chore. We're never done. Constant demands are placed on us, aren't they? By those wonderful little things we carry in our pockets. We have this modern technology where people can email us and SMS us and WhatsApp us at all times. They can make demands all the time on us. And we get itchy. Do you get itchy? Do you get scratchy? We become twitchy. Some of us, me included, we might even get a little bit grumpy. We might even get a little short-tempered. You see, all around us, there are these pressures and demands on us. And they bring uncertainty. They put us under pressure. And if we are not grounded, we will become restless. And that restlessness might defeat us. Maybe as we sit here today, you can relate to that on a personal level. Maybe it's been that kind of a week for you personally. My question to you is, how will you cope with that? You see, I think if we can relate to that, even in just a glimmer of one way or another, I think Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, becomes very attractive to us. Let me read it to you again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's a great invitation, and that's really the invitation I want us to look at this morning. Jesus saying to his people, come to me. I want you to notice three things about this invitation. The first one I want you to notice is that Jesus invites the weary and the burdened. He invites the weary and the burdened. We immediately, I think of this description in physical terms. We see them to be weary and burdened, people who are working hard, people who are laboring for whatever cause it might be, and yet they find no relief or rest. They're exhausted from life's journey. They're weighed down by life's activity. And as they look, there's no end in sight. The light at the end of the tunnel has been switched off. And while I don't want to dismiss the physical element to this, I don't think that's actually what Jesus is talking about. I think we have to understand weary and burdened differently. I don't think Jesus is identifying a physical reality so much as he's identifying a spiritual reality. I think that for two reasons. If you've actually got your Bibles open, you can cast your eye over the whole chapter. See, the context is Jesus coming to restore relationship with God. It is him coming as the Messiah to bring salvation to the world. He's talking to a group of Pharisees. Pharisees who know the law. Pharisees who are busy with the law. Pharisees who are trying to earn salvation with God without Jesus. And Jesus' point is that they are actually quite far from God. In fact, they are so far, they're going to face judgment and destruction along with the other cities who've rejected Jesus. You see, they are religious, they are busy, they are active, but the truth is they are restless. They haven't found what they're looking for. And Jesus understands they are weary and burdened in the area of salvation. The second reason I think that it's a spiritual issue is because of the solution. When he says to them, he says, look, come to me and I'll give you rest. But he qualifies that rest in verse 29. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, the rest he's talking about is not physical inactivity. The rest he's talking about is not a holiday. No, it is a spiritual issue to do with their souls. And so logic says to me that if it is a spiritual solution, then Jesus must be identifying a fundamentally spiritual problem. See, our restlessness does not come primarily because you and I are busy. Our restlessness does not come primarily because we do not control the things in and around us, the circumstances, etc. No, our restlessness comes primarily because we are not grounded and rooted in God. Our restlessness comes because we're not living the way God intends us to live. Restlessness comes because we are not right with Him. See, the restlessness that Jesus is addressing is a relational dysfunction between us and God. And in a sense, we know that. Because we know that we are weary even when we're not busy. We know that we are restless even when we're inactive. I mean, think about that. You are lying on your couch watching TV, and yet the stresses and pressures of the world are still dominating you, aren't they? You do certain things, but actually you still don't have that peace. See, weariness is not physical, it's spiritual. We live without reference to God, and that leads to restlessness. That's why there is no rest for us. See, despite doing more than ever, we'll still lack a sense of peace. Despite all our activity, we will lack a sense of calmness. With all the events going on around us, we can't get our heads around it, and so we lack security. We have no assurance going forward. It might be that you find yourself in that category today. Maybe you're pursuing your acceptance before God through your own merit or effort. You're trying to be acceptable to God based on your religious activity. Of course, the question is, have you done enough? Have you ever done enough if it depends on you? Is there more that you could be doing? And if there's more than you can be doing, well, then you'll be restless. Maybe, as Denzel shared with us earlier on, maybe you can relate to that, that you think by being Anglican, you'll be okay. You might even have a Bible next to your bedside table or on your bedside table. It might be that you're doing all these religious things, but the truth is religion doesn't actually change you. And the truth is religion can still leave you empty inside. Of course, maybe for many of us sitting here today, we say, well, look we know that Jesus is the key to salvation, and we've even come to Him. We're quite happy to submit to Him as our Savior, but my question is, are you still, however, living your life without reference to Him? You're happy to come to Him as a Savior, but you live your life on your terms. You try and do things without reference to Him. Maybe you've thrown yourself into work, you've established your identity in the workplace, but the truth is, you've discovered you're really someone you don't like. Maybe what you've done is you've gained wealth, you've got lots of stuff, and yet you've discovered that that stuff doesn't bring you the peace and the contentment, the satisfaction you're looking. So what do? You actually gather more stuff, don't you? And somehow you hope you'll get a different result. Maybe you have pursued a relationship after relationship after relationship. Maybe that is because you are expecting the person you're entering into a new relationship with to fulfill you in a way that's actually unreasonable. And so when they don't do that, you break it off with them because you're unfulfilled. Maybe you have gone through a crisis. And as you've gone through that crisis, you've realized that you're not in control, but you don't know how to trust the one who is. See, you're happy to accept that Jesus is Savior, but you're not living with Him. You're trying to do it on your own. And so your life is restless. And it may be as I'm speaking that there's that voice inside of you saying, that's me. Then I want to say to you, you are the weary and the burdened that Jesus is speaking to. He's speaking to you today. And He says to you, it's the second thing I want you to notice, He says to you, come to me. Jesus invites those weary and burdened. He invites you to come to me. I know this is going to be stating the obvious, but it's very important you know this. See, central to experiencing rest is actually a person. It's a person. Jesus doesn't suggest that they go to the spa. It's not what he suggests. He doesn't suggest that you go to the gym and have a workout. And I'm very grateful he doesn't. He doesn't even suggest. At 8:15, Denzel laughed at me at that moment. But I see he's a quick learner. See, Jesus doesn't actually say to them, look, you need to learn some meditation technique. Now, here's the thing, and it's so obvious, we often miss it. Jesus says to them, come to me. Come to Jesus. See, central to discovering rest is experiencing a person. It's meeting the right guy. It's meeting Jesus. And he's already told them why in verse 27. See, in verse 27, he says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. There's nothing in God's world that hasn't been given to Jesus. He's got everything. All the blessings that God has in store for you. All the goodness that God has in store for you. All the rest that God has in store for you. He's given it to Jesus. See, Jesus is the exclusive agent of all that God is and all that God does in the world. God works through Jesus exclusively. I mean, that's why Jesus will say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There isn't another way. There's not another trip. There's not another journey. There's not another technique. No, there is only one way to the Father, and therefore there is only one way to the rest the Father wants to give. And that's Jesus. And so he's the exclusive revelation of God. And we need to know him if we're to know God and to partake in the rest found in God. We need Jesus. And when we come to his revelation, we'll discover it's not just factual. It's not just we know things. No, we will discover it's very personal. We know him. I know sometimes that's very hard for us to get our heads around, because we're so used to relationships that are physical and tangible. We can walk up to each other and shake each other's hands. And I wonder if I'm pushing the boundaries by asking this question, but I wonder if social media has not helped us in that area. See, because we're actually so used to having relationship with people now that we don't necessarily see or touch or hear audibly. I wonder if that helps us in any way to understand that we can have relationship with Jesus. We can encounter and experience this person. We can engage with him and he can engage with us. You see, if the source of restlessness is broken relationship with God, then Jesus is the one we need to restore that relationship. The truth is, not everyone gets that. Not everyone understands that. Back in verse 25, just have a look. I think Jesus is acknowledging that. He acknowledges that God has hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and yet he's revealed them to little children. He says, look, there are people in this world who are wise and learned, people who think they've got it all together, and yet they can't see their need for Jesus. Again, I think in the context of Matthew 11, he's talking about the Pharisees. Pharisees who know the law. Pharisees who understand the law. Pharisees who apply the law. They are very religious. They are very busy. They are very active. And yet they do not get it. They're restless. And they'll be destroyed. And yet in contrast, Jesus says there's a group. There's a group who humble themselves. There's a group who come in humility. They come in dependence. They come knowing that they can't save themselves. They come knowing that there's nothing they can do to be acceptable to God except come to Jesus. And so they come to him. And here's the most incredible thing. When they come to him, do you know what they find? They find him. I know that seems daft to say, doesn't it? They find him. They meet with him. They have an experience with him. They build a relationship with him. And when they do that, here's what they find. They find salvation. They find forgiveness. They find acceptance. They find security. They find assurance. And not because they've suddenly got religion, but because they've got relationship. I wonder if it's worth just pausing at this point. Because it might be that you're in that group who's still trying to earn your own salvation, to make yourself acceptable. It might be you're even here today because you think just by coming to church today, you'll be made right with God. Can I say to you, you won't? And let me ask you today, have you not come to church, but have you come to Jesus? Will you come to Jesus? See, friends, you can spend the rest of your life going to church. It'll do you no good until you meet Jesus, until you find that relationship with him. And it might be that that seems very strange and odd and daunting to you. We'd love to help you to do that if that's not you. If you haven't yet come to Jesus, we'd love to speak to you. Denzel would love to speak to you. I would love to speak to you. Graham would love to speak to you. Kim would love to speak to you. Any of the wardens that you saw up here on the stage, we'd love to speak to you. And the person who brought you to church today, if they're a regular here at TCC, they should also love to speak to you. We'd love to know, not that you've come to church, but that you've come to Jesus. Of course, my guess is that for a large group of us today, we'll say that we've come to Jesus. We're actually secure that he has done everything necessary for us, that we might be saved. It might be, though, that we're in the second group of people, that group who needs to hear the rest of the verse. You see, Jesus doesn't just invite the weary and burdened, and he doesn't just say, come to me. If you keep looking at verse 28 and 29, he says to them, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus invites the weary and the burdened to come to him and take his yoke and learn from him. That tells us that whatever else it means to rest, it doesn't mean we'll be inactive. It doesn't mean we'll have a holiday. Now you see, to take his yoke, that's a working tool. It's a working, it's like me saying, won't you like to come to my home and push my lawnmower? You know, at that point, I'm not inviting you for tea, am I? I'm inviting you to get on a job with me. When Jesus says, take my yoke, it's a working implement. It's used to join two animals together. And it does it so that when those two animals are yoked together, by walking together, by working together, they can accomplish things they couldn't do before on their own. By walking together and working together, they can pull or carry the heavy loads. You see, to take Jesus' yoke is to join with Jesus in partnership. It is to come to him in discipleship. It is to unite to him. And it is to find the rest and the relief that comes because you are with him. If you keep reading, he says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But it is not those things, because the issues that we face, the stresses that we face, the politicians that we face suddenly disappear. It's not that suddenly in being bound to Jesus that the difficulties of this life vanish. It's not that the work suddenly reduces. It's not that the demands are suddenly not there anymore. No, but when you are united to him, when you are yoked with him, the difference is he carries the load. He bears the burden. You don't have to carry it on your own anymore. You are yoked to him. You let him do it. I don't know if you were like this as a child. But when I used to be in that situation where I was captain of the team, You know what it's like when you have to now choose? So there you are, you've got the two captains. You choose your team, you choose. I was that kind of guy as a kid growing up. Friendship meant absolutely nothing at that point. My thought was only, how well can you play soccer? You see, if you can play soccer, you are on my team. But if you're not, you're out of here, buddy. Go to that team. See, you choose, don't you? You choose the team. I don't know why Liz is laughing at me, because she's the same. We do that, don't we? Our competitive spirit, we want to win. We want to succeed. We choose the partners that help us win, don't we? You're all looking at me horrified. Is that really our pastor? I need a holiday. See, I need a holiday. Can I suggest to you for a moment that what Jesus does is he says to us in our frailty, in our weaknesses, in our inabilities, join with me. I'll make us win. You'll get through this. Not because of you. We already know you can't do it. That's why you're restless. No, we'll do this because of me, Jesus says. You see, he takes the responsibility for our salvation. He does everything that is necessary to make us right with God. He became flesh and dwelt on this earth. In perfect obedience, he humbled himself before God. He went to a cross, a cruel cross, where he died to make atonement for sins. Why? To carry your burden. To fix what you could not fix. To make right what you could not make right. You see, he takes the burden on himself when we are yoked with him. He is the one who says, come to me and I'll actually give you a new identity. Because when you are bound to me, you too will be considered a child of God. You will be adopted into my Father's family as his sons and his daughters, with all the blessings and privileges that go with that. He says, I will give you purpose and meaning and significance because I will teach you how to live. I think that's why he goes on to say, and learn from me. Learn from me, he says. I don't think it's just verse 27, you know, that all things have been given to him so that through him we can learn what God is like and we can learn how to know God and we can learn to what God requires. Now, I think that he's alluding to a passage in the Old Testament, a passage in Jeremiah that uses that phrase, and you will find rest for your souls. It's the only other time it's repeated in the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah speaks to the nation of Israel. And he says to them, he says, look, you guys are at the crossroads. You have to choose today. Will you go the right way? Will you choose what is right? Will you choose the good way? Will you choose the way that leads to life? In fact, in Jeremiah 6, he says, the sad part is you won't. You won't choose that way. And I think Jesus says the same thing to his people today. He says, look, come to me and then learn from me. Come to me and yoke yourself to me. Come to me and choose the right way. Let me show you the way that leads to life, that leads to blessing. You see, it's through Jesus and being yoked to him that we experience not just salvation. We experience the right way of life. We are shown the way that leads to rest. We can know him and we can know rest. We can know that sense of ultimate well-being because we know we are in a right relationship with God through Jesus. Because of his death on the cross, we can be secure in him for the here and now, and we can be safe in him for the there and then. One writer says, he says, that rest is that relief from such crushing burdens as crippling anxiety, the sense of frustration and futility, and the misery of a sin-laden conscience. See, I know the rest of forgiveness. I know the rest of acceptance. I know the rest of love. It's that freedom, isn't it, of not having to create my own identity. You speak to so many young adults today. What are they doing? I don't know. I'm going to take a gap year. I'm going to go find myself. I'm lost. And they all think they're going to find themselves in Europe. And my heart breaks for them. It breaks for them because I want to say to them, I said, you know, you can travel the world looking for you. And you'll never find your identity until you come to the foot of the cross and come to Jesus. See, the truth is, I say to them, you don't have to go across the ocean. Pay me half the amount of the money you would pay on the ticket, I'll share the gospel with you. I don't. It's just a joke. I don't do that. I say, you don't have to go anywhere. We can help you find yourself. We can give you your identity because Christ gives identity. Christ shows me who I am. Christ shows me my value and my worth and my significance. And if you listen to the sermon last week, Christ is the one who shows us our purpose. You see, why did the grace come upon us? So that we might do good in the world. What's the good? Hold out grace. See, I don't need to go somewhere else to find out my identity and purpose in the world. No, I can know the rest of those things, the rest that comes from those things when I come to Jesus. I can know that I don't have to follow the world's ways to be called successful. I don't have to follow the world's ways to get ahead. No, Jesus shows me the right way. He gives me purpose. And when he does, when I know that rest, well, then the truth is I can go about my work, can't I? Even my busy work, even my full of active work, I can go about it with a renewed vigor. Because I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I'm not trying to prove my identity. I'm not trying to find my own purpose. No, those are secure in Jesus, the one who I'm yoked with, the one who carries my burdens, the one who provides my salvation, the one who brings me satisfaction, the one who offers fulfillment and freedom. See, are we yoked to him? I imagine there's two types of restless people here today, whether you realize it or not. Two types of restless people. Those who are restless because they don't yet know Jesus as Savior. They haven't come to him. They're trying to solve a spiritual problem with a physical solution. Well, I want to say to you today that no amount of amendments to your schedule, no amount of religious activity will give you the rest that you are seeking. There is only one way for rest, and that is to come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. Of course, there might be another group of restless people here today who are still actually trying to keep Jesus at arm's length. They're happy for salvation, but they haven't yet yoked themselves to him. They haven't bound themselves to him in partnership, in union, in discipleship. And so who, despite their salvation, they don't actually bring all of their life under his tutelage. They're trying to do those things on their own. And to him, he says, come to me, join with me, learn from me, and find rest for your souls. Of course, I am actually quietly hoping there's a third group of people here today. I'm hoping there's a group who have come to him and who have yoked themselves to him and who, despite all the insecurities of this world and all the insecurities of this week, can say, as we sang earlier, it is well with my soul because I have come to Jesus. And I have found rest for my soul. And so I'll keep going. I'll keep going.